Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Circles of Prosperity. Today is July the 1st, and it's a Monday morning. I'm here with Dr. Reggie Johnson, and I'm Cynthia Johnson, your host this morning. And we are doing a replay of our lesson on compassion and intention from Gary Zukav's book, A Spiritual Partnership. And I thought that this would be a great lesson for you to hear in terms of moving and owning your personal power. So enjoy the lesson. Just completed talking about courage yesterday. Having the courage to look inside of ourselves. And today we're going to talk about compassion and how we move from courage to compassion, how we move from fear to love, which brings us into compassion. It's going to be a powerful lesson. I hope that you can join us this morning. Good morning, Dr. Reggie. How are you?
Good morning, Cynthia. How are you this morning?
Oh, precious. I'm wonderful. I'm wonderful. Good. You know, I was reading this chapter, and of course, as I was going through it, he said some things that kind of touched my soul and makes me stop and wonder about things.
Mm-hmm.
But as I went through the chapter, some of my apprehension began to dissolve.
Mm-hmm.
And I really began to see the path that he was taking us on. So I really hope people stay with us this morning as we go through this chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a journey into compassion.
Yes.
So you want to take us into our moment?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Heavenly Father, I am so privileged to address you as Heavenly Father for all of us who are listening. And I ask that the Holy Spirit goes out and blesses each and every person listening to this broadcast, that they are wonderfully touched by the power of love, not just ordinary love, but by divine love, real compassion, real authentic power, the covering of the Holy Spirit, that mantle that we look for every day that gives us life and gives us hope. And gives us peace of mind, and gives us great abundance and bounty. We thank you for that, that we are living in this era of a great emergence, planetary ascension, and personal ascension on every level. Bless those who are ready and walk them into that light. And those who are not ready, let them follow the energy of learning to get into the power of that pattern and that light. We thank you for Cynthia, for facilitating Circles of Prosperity and giving birth to this wonderful idea that everybody who is touched by this broadcast will prosper. It is a blessing. And let us be the candles emitting the energy of light unto our feet. We thank you, God, for everything that is, was, and shall be in your name. We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. Thank you so much, Dr. Reggie. Thank you so much. Compassion. He says, compassion is seeing yourself and others as souls who sometimes have these frightened parts of their personalities that are active. You know, this whole premise of this book is based on a couple of things. But number one is that we are evolving. That we, as human beings, we are evolving. That there was this old way of doing things, which was all about survival of the fittest. And we had institutions, societal institutions that were based on surviving. And the word surviving brings up images of fear, isn't it? Because what you're saying is, I'm afraid that I will die. I am fighting to live. And it puts you in this mode of doing anything that is necessary to survive. And therefore, we move into the consciousness of what? Of, I need to be in control. I need to manipulate things and be in control of circumstances and people in order for me, it's all about you, in order for me to survive. And he says that is the pursuit of external power. And we are now evolving into a new human being, one that is not in pursuit of external power, but one that lives within authentic power. And that power comes from your connection to your soul. And of course, your soul is connected to the ultimate power, which is what? God, Source, Universe, your higher self. I don't care what you call it. A rose by any other name would smell just as sweet. Is it not? So that's the premise, that there's an old way to survive or a new way to live, to embrace life, to find your joy. And he calls this new way you as the multisensory human being, aware of the unseen world and not just your five senses. You as multisensory being, aware that the duality of your personality, the parts that are frightened and moving and making choices out of fear, and the parts that are loving. And the whole purpose of this book study is for us to approach our fearful parts and dissolve them with love, so that we're making our choices not out of fear of not being able to survive, not out of fear that we have to be in control, that we have to be right, but out of pure love. And if you've been with Circles of Prosperity for some time, you know that we call this living a life of no resistance. Perfect love is no resistance. You just are. So let's talk about compassion today. He says that multisensory perception unveils many experiences that five-sensory humans consider compassion. You know, from those warm, fuzzy feelings about cute little puppies and kittens, or to giving money to a homeless person, or to funding charitable activities. And then it reveals them to something that's very different from compassion. Because compassion is caring about others, but without those hidden agendas. You see, every frightened part of your personality is pursuing external power. And sometimes that agenda is hidden. And here's an example. You know, you smile. But the smile is, you're smiling because you are intending to disarm a client or to seduce a sexual partner. Where is the smile coming from? From manipulation, right? But a smile that comes from this loving part of your personality, that smile, it nurtures and it expresses joy, and it just brings you closer to others. So if you do not know where the frightened parts of your personality are active, and when your loving parts of your personality are active, you cannot distinguish between compassion and fear. Because that fear can be masquerading as compassion. So here's the deal. Creating your authentic power requires your ability to be able to determine, am I coming from my frightened part of my personality, or am I coming from my authentic power? Illuminating all the rooms of your mansion, that's your house, that's your temple of your soul. When you are illuminating all the rooms of your mansion and discovering all of the frightened and all of the loving parts of your personality, that makes the difference between fear that appears to be compassion and true compassion that's visible. Because when you embark on the spiritual path, you will be surprised to discover how much you thought was compassion in yourself and in others is not, and how different compassion is from what you might have thought it to be. You know, if you go to a movie and you see this heartfelt movie and it just moves you and it moves you to tears, is that compassion or was that manipulation? What about the Hallmark commercials? And they that are sentimental and you're giving a card. Is that compassion that you feel, that little warm, fuzzy feeling? Or is it coming from some, or is it masquerading as compassion? Because it was manipulation. So, he starts giving some examples here to get you to focus on the intention behind what you would call compassion. Let's talk about a couple of them. Giving money to a homeless person who drinks is no more compassionate than buying drinks for a wealthy alcoholic. So which parts of your personality see such a gift as compassionate? And he has in parentheses, hint, it's the frightened part. Which see it as destructive? The loving part would see it as destructive. The parts of your personality that fear being moneyless and homeless see any gift to a moneyless and homeless person as compassionate. Homeless people activate these parts of your personality, and these parts give them money to mask the pain of powerlessness. They do not care about the homeless person. The homeless person is an object of these parts of your personality and a frightened object. When they give the object money, they see themselves for a moment as they would like to see themselves and the way they would like to be seen. And what is that? As a generous, a charitable, and an altruistic person. But they are not these things. In reality, they are frightened. How many of you are grasping this concept? Let's do another one. In other words, here you have a five-sensory individual may see an act as compassionate, but the multi-sensory individual knows it may not be, because the difference between a compassionate action and a fearful action is here's this word again, hold it now, is intention. And I am hoping that as we go through, no, let me change that wording. I know that as we continue to go through these book studies and analyzing these words, that intention will have a deeper meaning for you.
that as you move through the day, you're utilizing your intention and really studying, where am I coming from when I'm saying this? I know I catch myself. I've shared that with you. With my little fears. Okay? So individuals who are pursuing external power are not interested in their intentions. They just move and react, move and react, move and react. They're not even thinking, why am I doing this? You may think that you're thinking, I know why I'm doing this. And if you really go through and say, why am I doing this? And you may stop at the point, well, I'm doing this because I need to get over. I need to make some money. I need to survive. Which equals and means I'm afraid of not making it. I'm afraid of dying. I'm afraid of being homeless. I'm afraid of being poor or in poverty. How many of you can be honest with yourself at this point and recognize that everything that you have done from the time that you were moving into adulthood, every decision that you have made has been based on your survival and therefore your fear? And then if you had children, you're indoctrinating your children with the same thing. Do this so that you can survive. Do this so that you can be successful, so that you can survive. Hold on now. Individuals who are pursuing external power are not interested in their intentions. They do not discriminate between intentions that they think they hold, such as, oh, I'm helping those less fortunate, or the hidden intentions that they may or may not realize that they hold, such as just creating the self-image of kindness or generosity or philanthropy. And the real, which is beneath everything else, intention that motivates their giving, which is still manipulating and controlling circumstances in order to feel safe and valuable. But individuals who create authentic power strive to know their intention each moment. And that becomes important because when we identify the intention, then we are taking responsibility for the consequences of the choices that we're making from moment to moment. 5th century humans confuse compassion with sentimentality. Remember I talked about the Hallmark commercials? Oh, that's sweet. Oh, look at the puppy. Sentimentality. It's not compassion. They submerge themselves in these cozy feelings that they think are loving experiences. For example, they melt when they see these pictures of cuddly children and infants, and they love images of couples just running hand in hand through the surf. And, oh, the paintings of quaint, homey cottages in perfect evening light where all is as it should be. These are not experiences of compassion. These are attempts to escape the emotional challenges of the Earth School. Compassion is an aware and fully present state. Whoa, are you hearing this? Because when we see all this warm and fuzzy, when we're feeling all this warm and fuzzy, if you stop and you think about it, it's like, oh, that's wonderful. And the next thing is, oh, I wish I could have that experience. Oh, I wish I could live in that house. in that perfect little world with the pink and white fence. Oh, because the reality that you have created for yourself isn't all that great. And so you move to these other fantasies that are covering up what you have created, the mess you've created. Let's be patient now. He says, sentimentality is absence from your life when you're compassion. There's a denial of the difficult experiences of frightened parts of your personality. It is a disconnected, a fear-based fantasy. But compassion is intimate and real. So sentimentality is absence from your life. Remember I said you want to escape and be in that little cottage and hear the surf and run on the beach with your lover? Oh, you know they have this famous scene, they play it in just about every love story, where they're on the beach and the one guy, the guy is on one end and the woman is on the other, and they put it in slow motion and they're just running on the beach right at the edge of the water to love, hug and embrace each other. And we escape in that moment and want to experience that. That's sentimentality, not compassion. Okay, so here he goes. The Lakota Indians of North America say that the hurt of one is the hurt of all, and the honor of one is the honor of all. And we can transport this wisdom into the vocabulary of authentic power by saying this, that the pain of one is the pain of all, and the joy of one is the joy of all. We feel the pain of others, and they feel ours. But we also feel the joy of others, and they feel ours. Frightened parts of one personality resonate with the experiences of frightened parts of other personalities. If our parent has left the earth school, we empathize with others who have similar experiences, and our common suffering creates a sense of shared intimacy. In the same way, the loving parts of one personality resonate with the experience of the loving parts of other personalities. So if we have experienced the healing power of forgiveness and we empathize with others who have walked that same path and we understand and appreciate them and they understand and appreciate us. So there's this natural ability to recognize the experiences of others as our own and feel close to those individuals as a result, but that is not compassion. And let me explain why. Drug addicts, they can empathize with one another. They share common experiences, don't they? But the sense of comfort with one another that results, that does not help them to become healthy. And on the contrary, it supports them in remaining addicted. Individuals who see themselves as victims, like a drug addict, okay, they resonate with others who also see themselves as victims. And they sympathize and they empathize and they pity one another. But that is not compassion. Here he says, when I was in the Army, I felt more comfortable with fellow Special Forces, the Green Beret soldiers, than with others. We empathized and we sympathized, but we had no compassion, no matter how much we felt that we cared about one another. Our mission demanded denial of humanity, sensitivity, and suffering of our enemies. It required inhumanity and insensitivity from us and elevated our suffering to heroism. Compassion changes all of this because it obliterates the distinction between allies and adversaries, and only fellow students of the Earth School remain. No right, no wrong. No labels, no judgment. We're just all loving human beings. Care for others replaces fear of others. Amen? If I can care for you, I have no reason to fear you. The pain and joy of others help you to create authentic power and to help others create authentic power. You see the sources of their pain, which is the frightened parts of their personality. And you can see the joy, which is the loving parts of their personality. And you care enough to help them to challenge and heal the frightened parts and to cultivate the loving parts if they choose. Remember, they have free will. I've said to you throughout this book that I've used the example of when we get into an argument, when you're having friction with another human being, that if you stop and say, I recognize that you are in pain, you don't need to say it to the person, but just stop and say, I know that this individual is reacting to something that they're in pain about, something that they are fearful about, somewhere where they don't feel worthy or valuable. They're frightened. They're in a deep well, in a hole, and crying out for help. And so how do you respond? Do you feed that demon? Or do you love it? He says this is a very different dynamic than caretaking, because creating a self-pleasing self-image and manipulating others with actions that appear to be compassionate, it's different than remaining imprisoned in shared experiences of powerlessness. It is using your understanding of the experiences of others to support them in creating authentic power. It is caring about them. My experiences in the Army, for example, helped me to communicate with those who wear uniforms and carry weapons, such as police officers, but that ability is not compassion. They helped me relate to one another. They helped me to relate to anyone who serves in the public uniform, such as firefighters and people in the Coast Guard, but that ability is not compassion either, because caring about others enough to use my understanding to help them is compassion. And I'm going to give you an example. I am in training right now for this job, and they put us off in little breakout groups. And there are three people in our group, and there's one young lady in our group that always says, we want to help each other. You know, because we're practicing, we're role-playing. And she says, I don't want to teach somebody because I don't want to hurt their feelings. She's afraid of saying, you need to do so-and-so or you forgot to do so-and-so because she feels that it will hurt their feelings. And I said to her, no, but you're helping them to learn, and that's our whole purpose. And she says, you're always so positive. You switch it, and I make her feel comfortable in saying, tell us what you recognize that we did incorrectly, where we're not following the instructions. It is helping us. You see how that is moment to moment? That was my compassion. I understood how it is that she doesn't want people to think I'm mean or I'm trying to point out your errors or, you know, none of that. We're not looking at you that way. You are helping us. And she is very good at grasping a lot of things that we're the two of us are still kind of slow in getting, and she gets it. So she should be sharing, shouldn't she? Comfort. And so my point being, I helped her to overcome the frightened part of her personality. And that came from compassion. Because I can tell you, in managing people, I always had that fear. But I can't, for them to be successful in their job, I have to make them aware of how they can improve. And it's the way you word it, too. You know, you'll be more successful if you try this. You'll find this easier. This will increase your productivity if you do it this way. Why don't you try it this way and let me know? Rather than, oh, that's wrong. Big difference. Alrighty. So comfort in the company of those with similar experiences is the glue that binds individuals into larger collectives, such as cultures and nations and religions and races and the sexes, and into smaller collectives such as professional trade and social organizations, or the white only, or no Jews country club, as an example. And, you know, I know many of you are African Americans that are on this call. I'm African American. And, you know, we have our stuff, don't we? And I bring this up all the time. Why? Because I want us to grow and expand and move into this new consciousness. And we cannot do it when we are held down in our fear of what others think about us. You were divinely created. You were divinely created. You are not powerless. You are not a victim. You were designed to be victorious. And we don't need cheerleaders to tell us how horrible we are or that we're not worthy. And, you know, a lot of us, when we can get in a group together, we all start chanting, oh, those old slave songs, oh, yeah, I'm troubled. Oh, life is hard. Oh, woe is me. Oh, they're putting it all hard on me. When you find yourself in the midst of that drama, please have compassion. See the frightened part of the personalities and uplift them, challenge them to recognize the divinity within them and that there's nothing to fear. That love yourself first. Love that part of you that can overcome anything because you were perfectly designed. Oh, my goodness. He says, it creates countless affinities between individuals who share common experiences as diverse as parenthood, stock trading, and plumbing. It is the universal law of attraction at work. Generically, there are only two energies. There is love and fear. And the universal law of attraction continually brings love together with love and fear together with fear. It brings those who are challenging their fear into the company of others who are also challenging their fear, and those who are cultivating love together with those who are cultivating love. Birds of a feather flock together. Birds of a feather flock together. So challenging a frightened part of your personality, which is also cultivating the loving part of your personality, it creates compassion. Because it's changing your experiences of yourself and your experiences of others at the same time. Because the less you judge yourself, the less you judge others. The more you appreciate yourself, the more you appreciate others. When you love yourself, you love others. And so compassion for yourself and compassion for others are two sides of the same coin. Because one side is your interactions with frightened and loving parts of your personality, but the other side is your interaction with the frightened and loving parts of other personalities. Wow. Compassionate words and actions are not obsessive, compulsive, or addictive. They are always appropriate. You cannot be compassionate with one person and not be compassionate with all people any more than you can be compassionate with all people and not compassionate with yourself. Compassion has no exclusions, including you. It has no exceptions, including you. It opens, it unlocks, it removes barriers. It is care without fear, without agendas, without attachments, without expectations. Compassion cannot be wished or affirmed or visualized or prayed into being any more than a farmer can wish or affirm or visualize or pray a crop into being. He can choose the crop that he wants to harvest, but that is not enough. He must prepare the ground. He must plant the seeds and water and feed them and pull the weeds. So if you want to harvest compassion, you have to create authentic power. And at some point in the creation of your authentic power, your endeavors become very real to you. And you realize that your emotional awareness and responsible choices are affecting the very substance of your life. Your ability to live outside of the control of the frightened parts of your personality and to create a life that's filled with love. And when you realize and truly realize that allowing those frightened parts of your personality to do as they choose is more painful than challenging them, the courage that challenging them requires begins to be replaced with the gratification of challenging them and choosing responsibly instead of reacting irresponsibly. You begin to create different consequences for yourself and for others, and you are no longer change in order to please others or to be accepted or to make yourself feel valuable of self. You change because you want to change, because you are no longer willing to be controlled by those frightened parts of your personality. You change because you no longer want to experience the pain of the frightened parts of your personality and the pain of the consequences that they create. And you attract others who are doing the same. And you also see the depth of their pain and the pain of powerlessness and the pain of the destructive consequences that attempting to avoid it has created, because you experienced that pain yourself. This is what is the birth of compassion. Now, you know how difficult it is to challenge and to heal a frightened part of your personality. And because of that, you know how difficult it is for others as well. And you also see the freedom that you are creating within yourself, and you want to share that with others, how to create that freedom and how to use their experiences, including their painful experiences, to become masters of their own lives. Oh, my goodness, you taste the fruits of your efforts. And you see that no one else could have given them to you. And then you see how desperately others are looking for someone or something to provide them meaning and purpose and fulfillment and joy. And you know how futile that search is. Because the answers are in you. Not outside. Not external power. Internal power. Authentic power. Inside of you. And so that's when the need to teach, to fix, to impress, to convert, or to caretake, it disappears. That is when the pursuit of external power loses all of its attraction. Humbleness. Humbleness. Clarity. Forgiveness. And love. Fill your life. All that remains are the intentions of your soul. And you use them to guide you, creating at each moment with an empowered heart, without attachment to the outcome. That is the way to create compassion that continues between moments of inspiration and endures after the sermon is over. And it guides you without fail through the most difficult experiences and transforms them into some of the most rewarding. I tell you, this man writes from a huge depth in his soul. What a journey he has taken. The ultimate expression of pursuing external power by serving and fighting as a Green Beret, overcoming what he thought was his fear. But the intimacy of being at one with God, attached to his soul, was his biggest challenge. Oh, Dr. Reggie, can you take us, I'm telling you, that was just powerful.
It was.
Can you take us into our closing prayer?
Yes. Lord, we seal this lesson into our hearts. Let us live it and listen to it, but let us learn it and sow it into our being, that there are no frightening parts of our personality, because you are the ultimate personality. You dwell in us and motivate us and steer us and guide us and uplift us to joy, not to any imprisoned energy. There's splendor and there's love and there's freedom in that power that you are. We thank you for everyone listening. We thank you to keep blessing and guiding Cynthia. We thank you for all the people who give contributions and support this ministry and this broadcast, that they'll be mightily blessed. We know we walk forward in faith and in love and in light, and we stay in peace. We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. I love you guys. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Pay attention to your intentions today as you're making choices. Stay in your compassion for others today. God bless you.